One of the most frequently asked questions, without a doubt, is yoga. I mean, there's nothing even comparatively close to the amount of times I've got asked about that. And I plan on doing something, a full expose on my channel about it soon. But because I know it's such a hot issue, I'm trying to pray and brainstorm it and discern what's the best way to go about creating that, because it will minister to a lot of people. It will speak to a lot of people, because a lot of people are practicing it. 36 million Americans are practicing it right now. They're actively practicing yoga. 36 million Americans, while another 30 million plus have already tried it and then stopped doing it. So you have like a really large percentage of the population who's experimented with yoga or who's currently doing it, including Christians. You have Christian yoga ministries. You have yoga classes happening in church buildings, where church buildings are renting their yoga, or they're building out for yoga instructions and yoga classes. And it's like, is this consistent with what we see in the New Testament? If we go into a little bit what yoga actually is, yoga, just in a nutshell, the word yoga means union. Sorry, my mouth is dry. Hold on. Because you're yoking yourself to spirits. Okay, now how are you yoking yourself to spirits? Anytime you submit to a philosophy or a behavior or a practice that God, that is contrary to God, that's commanded against by God, that is intrinsically connected to a spiritual system other than that that's tied in the Bible. Well, we know in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And we know that idolatry and other sins throughout Scripture are correlated to a demonic power behind them. So the question is, if I am partaking in a type of spiritual discipline outside of the commandments of God, in transgression of God's commandments, am I opening myself up to demonic oppression or possession? The answer is obviously yes. Scripture is clear about that, Old Testament, New Testament. Now, in which sense does yoga fit under that category? Well, the first thing that a lot of people don't realize is hand postures that they'll do and positions that they'll hold. Sometimes these positions are named after polytheistic deities of the Hindu religions, and holding them is meant to invoke the properties of these gods, the characteristics of these gods, the essences even of these gods. We document that in the book. And chanting as well. Not everyone does chanting, but they'll chant mantras. They'll chant the names of some of these deities. They're literally invoking demons, and their hand postures and their breathing and their what they're doing in their mind, when their mind is, you know, they're reaching toward the state of samadhi, where they are in this place of really no mind or just complete mental stillness. For the ultimate, these things are what yoga is meant to do. Okay, it's meant to shift your consciousness fundamentally. That's the whole purpose. So it's meant to bring you into a state of consciousness called moksha, where you recognize that Brahman, the impersonal force of the universe, this universal spirit, this oversoul, the substance of reality that we call Brahman or God, that ultimately is the self. The Atman, the personal self, is Brahman, and Brahman is Atman. So all is God, God is all. And the purpose of yoga is to realize oneself as being divine, as being God in the flesh, if you will. It's to and that state of consciousness is called moksha, and that's where you can now leave the cycle of samsara, of death and rebirth, and you've now reached a state of enlightenment. But all of these stretches, these breathing techniques, these chanting, these mental exercises, they are meant to facilitate an alternative state of consciousness. That's the whole purpose you're doing yoga. It's not just stretching. The sequence of stretching is, first of all, the warm-up sequence is usually a sun salutation to worship and honor the sun. But the stretching, the breathing, it's meant to cleanse your chakras so universal energy can flow through them so that you can reach this higher state of consciousness. It's for psycho-spiritual development. End of story. That's what yoga is. That's why the word yoga means union, which refers to a union between the personal self and the universal self. And now some people might be like, okay, well, I'm not doing, you know, I go to yoga classes, but I pray before I go, and I'm protected, and I just go for the stretching. do you really think that you can sit at the table of demons and not be in fellowship with demons like the Bible says you are? People can do basic stretching techniques, in which case you're not doing yoga. But if she's saying, I practice yoga, but not the spiritual part, that's impossible. Yoga, by definition, look it up in the Webster's Dictionary. It's a Hindu theistic practice. It's Hinduism in practice. So if she's claiming to practice, if she says, I do stretching, I went to my kinesiologist and I got back stretches to do for my back pain. I love it. It's awesome. Praise God. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But if she's saying, I'm practicing yoga, but I'm not, how can you be in an environment where the yoga instructor is demonized and pushing pantheism and Eastern philosophy onto you and coaching you through that, where everyone around you is opening themselves up, just kind of like a spiritual open house for demons to enter and influence and speak into. And you're in an environment like that with there's idols around the room, there's pictures of gurus and so forth. It's just a swamp, a cesspool of idolatry. And you're breathing, you're stretching, you're meditating, you're literally shifting your consciousness in an environment like that. You're altering your brainwave states. Your defense systems are down. You're not testing everything against the word of God. You're not you're not taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You're not girding up the loins of your mind. You're trying to shift your consciousness to enter into a place of no mind in a practice that historically is inseparable from its spiritual roots. And that's why the Hindu Association of America is really outraged at what's been going on in the West, where people are trying to commercialize yoga and westernize it and take it away from its spiritual roots. And they're saying yoga, by definition, is spiritual. It's spiritual and it's also psychological. It's psycho-spiritual. And so it's not breathing. It's not stretching. The biological component of yoga is a means to an end.
Right.
It's a means to an end of moksha. It's a means to an end of higher consciousness. So the things that you're doing to relax the body and prepare the body, that's not the end game of yoga. The end game is this realization of one's own godhood and self-divinity. That's the end game. So can you do yoga apart from that? No, yoga by definition is that.
Right.
It just simply is. Now, can you stretch and breathe in a relaxed way as you're stretching because it makes you feel peaceful? Yeah, that's not yoga. So here's what we can definitely say. I would say definitely don't partake in a yoga class. Don't be involved in anything that bears the name of yoga. I would say don't be involved in Christian yoga either. For one, just because I don't trust the people's discernment to create a Christianized version of yoga. That's a red flag for me. I mean, the Bible's very clear. What fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Therefore, come out from them. Come ye separate from them, and then I will receive you. Why are we trying to blend light and darkness when we know that, you know, a byproduct of practicing yoga, one of the byproducts, I mean, apart from Kundalini awakening, which is a whole nother thing.
It drives people crazy.
Oh, yeah. It literally does drive. It literally actually drives people crazy into psychosis, which is why there was an interesting study we documented where psychologists and psychiatrists, psychotherapists, they're no longer recommending yoga to their patients because there's this new trend between the practice of yoga and psychosis, people literally losing a sense of reality and a sense of a healthy sense of a personal self and sanity of mind. And but why is it that when yoga is practiced properly, traditionally, it's understood to result in what are called primary and secondary siddhis, which are supernatural attainments that come through the right practice of yoga? So here's what yoga is meant to do when you practice it correctly. Okay, so you go to a yoga class, you're practicing yoga. Here's what women think they're doing. I'm going to go wear some Lululemons and, you know, put my hair up and freshen up and feel all, you know, youthful and invigorated and have fun and go to this yoga class. Okay, what you're doing, if you're practicing it the way your instructor who's been trained and certified in these things wants you to practice and intends for you to practice it, it will result in you believing that you're God and everything's God.
Right.
The Bible says, put fear in them, O Lord, that the nations know they are but men. The Bible says the Egyptians are man and not God. Look at the track record in scripture of people who claim to be God. You got the king of Tyre. I believe that is Ezekiel 28. King of Babylon, Isaiah 14. King Herod in Acts 12. And every person who claimed to be deity, apart from Jesus, because he was speaking the truth and was honored by God for that, every human being who tried to wear deity for themselves was issued the death penalty by God on the spot. Will you still say, Ezekiel 28, go read Ezekiel 28 if you think that God wants you thinking that man's intrinsically divine and that you should enter into a state of moksha. Because your heart is proud and you have said, I am a god, I sit in the seat of the gods, but you are a man and no god. Behold, I will send foreigners upon you and they're going to do this and that to you. They're going to kill you. They're going to slay you. Will you still say, I am a god in the presence of those who kill you? Very powerful revelation from the Lord there. So that's what will happen when it's practiced correctly, is you're going to enter into a state of consciousness where principalities are going to project thoughts and false revelations and false insight into you, where you're now going to take on this pantheistic or panentheistic worldview, where you're going to identify yourself as being one with this sort of universal spirit in the universe, because you're going to be in an impressionable state of consciousness where demons can project thoughts into you, feelings into you, and make them seem as though they're true. You have to understand that it's the demons don't just give you the lie, and then when you practice the lie, that's it. They give you the lie. When you practice the lie, they pounce on you, and they'll manipulate your consciousness to try and mimic a state of being within your system that seems to mirror this worldview as being true. As one person rightly said, it yokes you to these spirits. That's what it means. It's like, so imagine, you know, a basket. Imagine, you know how there's like a weave in a basket?
Right.
So a demon enters into you and now he's weaved into like a basket. He's influencing your thoughts, your perceptions, your predispositions, your attitudes about reality. You now think pantheism's true. You now think the universe is God, God's the universe, everyone is divine, everyone is walking as Brahman. You know, whether they recognize it or not, they're intrinsically a spark of the creator, and God lives within them as them, because you have a demon living in you, bearing witness to a false worldview. Demons are trying to mimic the role of the Holy Spirit within people. When the Holy Spirit comes and fills people, he bears witness to the gospel, to the truth of the Christian worldview. When demons come in you, they don't just make you eat spiders and scratch holes into your skin. They try to bear witness to the worldview that you have submitted yourself under, that you have taken part in. They're trying to create a psychological environment in you that seems to confirm that worldview as being true. So you're going to have a different experience as a Gnostic than you will as a Satanist, than you will as a yoga practitioner, than you will as a someone who uses psychedelics. But all of them are overseen by principalities whose job is, okay, we're going to lead people into this deception, and then we're going to, when they enter into that, and we have legal right to their soul because they have yielded and step outside the protective covering of the Father, now we're going to try and bear witness to them in their psychology. Now that we've indwelt them, and now that we have legal right to oppress them, we're going to yoke them to this false worldview, and we're going to try and make them feel as though they're walking out the truth of that worldview that's actually false. It's extremely deceptive. It's extremely obvious. When I got saved, that was one of the first things I realized, is like, when I partake in things that are just contrary to scripture, types of spirituality, demons come, enter into you, and they try and make you feel and experience that worldview as being true when it's really not. It's smoke and mirrors. It goes back to 2 Corinthians 11. Satan masquerades himself as an angel of light. Okay, so what demons are going to make you think moksha has happened to you, and that you're actually experiencing Brahman, and that Brahman is actually inseparable from the self. But another thing that happens in the practice of yoga, it's called the primary siddhis and secondary siddhis. And these are, as I said before, supernatural attainments. So basically, people will practice yoga, and then apparently when you do it right, historically it's been known that you will achieve abilities to do things like read other people's minds, to see into the past lives of the gods, to see into the future. You will have absolute lordship and supremacy over all creation. You will be able to leave your body and go into another person's body. And this is just from practicing yoga. So if yoga is just stretching and breathing, how come historically it's always been taught that when you practice it right and you practice it correctly, that you're going to kind of work your way up this scale of supernatural ability. And what is empowering this supernatural ability in you? It's very obvious. It's the gods of the names, the demons who you're chanting their names. You're chanting demons' names, and then you have the ability to leave your body and have do remote viewing and astral projection. And you wonder, you know, why, you know, you have nightmares. You wonder why you have paranoia. You wonder why you have vomiting. You wonder why you have headaches, migraine headaches all the time. All these things that are associated with a Kundalini awakening, for example, these psychological side effects of yoga being practiced correctly. It's horrible. We actually document in the book people warning people, hey, Kundalini yoga, this is huge in the New Age movement. That's like, if you can have a Kundalini awakening, man, you've really stepped into enlightenment if you've had a Kundalini awakening. Yoga practitioners tell people, don't do Kundalini yoga. You don't know what you're doing. It's extremely dangerous. You're going to hurt yourself. It's too powerful for you. They think that it's referring to some cosmic energy flowing through people that they're not able to handle. It's referring to a powerful demon, a powerful principality that gets, that possesses people straight up. They lose control of their bodies sometimes. There's videos of this stuff online. Now, if people want to do stretching, do stretching. That's not yoga.
Right.
If you want to go to a yoga class, that's yoga. And you are seating yourself at the table of demons. You're drinking from the cup of demons. The Bible says you can't drink from the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Are we to provoke the Lord to jealousy? So you have to choose one. You have to choose what side of the fence you're going to be on. Are you going to flee from the appearance of evil or not? The Bible says the body belongs to the Lord and the Lord to the body. It says flee from idolatry. And it says exercise your members as members of righteousness, because the body was meant for the Lord. Your body's been redeemed by Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. It's been paid for. It doesn't belong to you anymore. Your own body doesn't, it's not yours. It does not belong to you. If you think it belongs to you, you're deceived. You've deceived your own self. It belongs to Jesus. Now, is Jesus giving you permission to go to a yoga class and hold these positions named after polytheistic deities to try and shift your consciousness? And as this yoga instructor is, you know, telling you that the universe loves you and that, you know, breathe in, you know, the essence of creation around you and all this stuff. Is that what the Lord has instructed and us to do anywhere in the New Testament? No. All you see in scripture is warnings against those things. In fact, the Lord's only relationship to these kinds of practices, all throughout scripture, he's rebuking the very cultures that practice these things.
Right.
Cultures like Babylon, okay, cultures like ancient Egypt, where you have, the mystery schools of ancient Egypt, and you have the black magic of ancient Egypt, and you better believe they're practicing things like meditation and they're shifting their consciousness back then. The only referent we have for anything similar to this comes from the cultures that God commands us to be distinct from and the cultures that were warring against God throughout history. So I don't see them as being compatible at all. We do have a segment in the book on yoga, just a brief overview. And there's other things too. I'm still growing in my research and understanding of the practice. There's traditions that suggest that yoga was given supernaturally to man by Krishna, that Hatha yoga was actually relayed to man by supernatural deities in antiquity, in which case you have the teachings of demons. This is literally the teachings of demons and the doctrines of devils. And it's extremely dangerous. Christians should not be practicing it. And that's one of about 12 ways that we document in the book, The Second Coming of the New Age, how the church has been deceived by New Age thought and New Age practice. That's one out of about a dozen. And there's actually more scary ways than that that we mention in the book.